editing and all on that is Sister Chrissy's sister, Allie. And I thought about it while I was watching her. She's handling that card that says, "Do you know nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?" And on the little explanation on the bottom and on the video on the back, it goes into great detail about how everybody in the Bible was baptized in Jesus' name. Nobody was baptized in the titles. And then she handled one that said, "Did you know there were believers in the Bible that didn't have the Holy Ghost?" And it clearly explains that you can be a believer and not have the biblical Holy Ghost, because belief, repentance, baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost are separate identifiable experiences. And she was handling that. And some other card. And she handled it in Spanish too, but I don't know how her Spanish is necessarily. But Sister Chrissy taught her the first Bible study this week, opened up Bible study with her sister. And I just think that is so, so exciting. We want to be sure to pray for Sister Tina's cousin that came in last Sunday morning as an agnostic. Last Sunday night was responding to God. The Wednesday night following that, she received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. Not bad progress for an agnostic. Didn't have to go to school or anything. Just got in the presence of God. And oh, what a wonderful presence in the house today. We want to rejoice with our brother that just got the Holy Ghost back here, just got baptized in Jesus' name. And I want you to know, if this is your first time to the house of God, that it is the will of God for you to be redeemed of your sins, for you to be baptized in His name, for you to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. God wants to deliver you of every hindering thing in your life. And how about you? You're doing good? You're loving what God's doing in your life? God been good to you? Isn't He a good God? So this Labor Day, if you haven't shouted, you need to go ahead and shout, because we're not going to have church tonight. And if you haven't expressed yourself fully unto God, you need to go ahead and take care of that, because you can come to church tonight, but you're going to be all by yourself. So we're going to read again from 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. Appreciate Brother Cliff doing a good job on Wednesday night teaching Bible study, but that's what he does. He teaches Bible studies and does a good job. Just need to pray for his schedule and pray for him that he'll be effective, because he's getting so covered up. He's got and new Bible. I don't know if you're a Bible study teacher or not, but new Bible studies are hard to turn down. They're hard to say no to. They're hard to give away, because you want to teach them all. It may be like hunting, Brother Cliff, but I don't know, because I don't hunt. But I appreciate Brother Cliff. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and starting in verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." If you love his word, as you're seated this morning, let's give him praise and thanks and bless him. I bless your name, O God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege to handle your word. I thank you, mighty God, for the liberating power of your word in this house today. God, we praise you and we worship you. Praise God. So it really is getting crazy out there. Clerk of court in Kentucky is behind bars today because she won't give out marriage license to two men or to two women. For some reason, she doesn't understand that that's marriage. And the Supreme Court says it's okay, and the White House says it's okay, and all the governments of all the lands and everybody has said hoorah to it, except the Word of God. And so we find ourselves more and more easily identifiable as those people. And we want to be those people. We don't want to be like what's on the outside. We don't want to be like Egypt. So here Paul is talking to Timothy, and this passage, along with the next chapter, become the core presentation in commissioning services, in ordination services. And this is quite a bit like the relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul is setting Timothy forth to go into all these churches that they've started, all these new Gentile churches. And he's sending him forth, but he sends him forth with word for the church. Here he sends him forth with word for Timothy himself. Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so Paul is teaching Timothy the power of gaining the approval of God, and the idea that God's people are workmen, that we are not serving God in some shallow, sloppy grace manifestation where there is nothing for the individual believer to do. But rather, he said, you need to study, and you need to show yourself approved to God. You need to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so the converse of that is, if you're not a workman, then in the kingdom of God, you will be ashamed. And he said, you need to do these things, and you need to rightly divide the word of truth. You need to be able to be a practitioner of the word of truth. You need to be able to navigate the word of God. Know your way around. Be able to have the conversation. Know what the primary and fundamental ideas of the word of God are. So Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to study. You've got to work this. You're going to be approved of God. You're going to have to work to do that. It implies diligence. It implies something that is time intensive, something that the individual pursues. It implies that knowing God and pleasing God can be accomplished through the study of the word of God. John chapter 5. Verse 39, search the scriptures. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Jesus is God on the earth. And he says, if you want to know about me, search the scriptures. He was in his incarnation the fulfillment of prophecy. His birth in a virgin vessel was prophesied. The fact that he was God in a body was prophesied. The fact that he would come to be the redeemer of Israel and that he would bear their sins and our sins in his own body, all of that was prophesied. Some for as far back as 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And the first messianic prophecy is Genesis chapter 3. And so all of this comes to you by the word of God. Jesus said, you want to know who I am? Get intimately acquainted with the scripture. You need to know the scripture. Let me stop right here and say, you need to be tethered to a pulpit. Let me tell you, you need a home Bible study. If you haven't sat down in your home or in some neutral site and you haven't had a Bible study, you need to have a Bible study. You don't need to move from here to the coming of the Lord ignorant of the fundamentals of the word of God. You don't need to just kind of walk by feel or walk by tradition or just kind of move like the whole culture around you is moving, but rather you need to get acquainted with the word of God. I need to tell you today, you can find God. God is findable, as our agnostic friend found a couple of Sundays ago. You can find God and you can please God. Don't hide from God because you feel like you're damaged or inferior or traumatized or that you wouldn't have anything to offer God. God is looking for you. God died for you. God shed his blood for you. He is intimately interested in you. You are the focal point of what all of creation is about. God has staged the redemption story here on this earth. I want you to know this is the most important story you're ever going to come across. God says you can find me. God says you can please me. You need to get about the business of that. Proverbs 8 and 17. I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. God loves those that love him. And he said, if you seek me early, you'll be sure to find me. In Jeremiah 29 and 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. God's not interested in brief encounters. God's not interested in fair weather friends. God's looking for somebody that will sell out lock, stock, and barrel, that will turn everything over to him, that will be ready to have a romance that will last for eternity with God. God is looking for people to live forever with him. God's looking for people to invite over forever at his house. He doesn't want people that are not sure they want to be there. But I'll tell you this, if you love God, God's going to love you back. And if you search for God with your whole heart, you're going to find him. Well, praise God. And so it's the will of God and the intent of God for you to find him. It's the word of God that reveals. It's the word of God that reveals God to man. And so all of this emphasis on study the word or Bible studies or the preaching of the word, all of that is involved in let's find God. Let's discover God. Let's have a new and a profound experience with God. All of that comes to us by the word of God. Without the word, you cannot know God. In ignorance of the word, you are ignorant of God. If you are blind to the word, you're blind to God. If you're lost to the word of God, then you're lost to God. Amen. It's the word of God that reveals God to man. Faith illuminates the heart to God. Faith is the igniter. Faith causes your heart to be able to respond to God. And faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. You can't get to first base without getting involved with the word of God. So when you're dealing with the word of God, you're dealing with God. He is inseparable from his word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word. Everybody say the word was God. So when you're talking about God, you're talking about his word. And when you're talking about his word, you're talking about God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Everything was made by God, and everything was made by God. His word. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God and his word are illuminating. Life is illuminating. You, when you come into the presence of the word of God, you are handling life itself. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." When we're handling the word of God, did you feel that move through the house this morning? Did you see those young ladies? They know what's out in the street. They know what's down at the high school. They know what's down in Hollywood. But on a Sunday morning when they didn't have to, they were at the house of God and they said, "I like what I'm feeling here. Something's resonating in my spirit. I want more of this." I want you to know, when you encounter the word of God, you're encountering life itself. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." God wants you to live and not die, but he doesn't just want you to exist. He said, "I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." I want you to have an abundant life. I'm just telling you right now, wherever you're living, there's more for you in God. No matter what you're doing, there's more for you in God. Whatever kind of life you have right now, there's a greater abundance right now in God. And all of that comes to us by the power, the knowledge, and the exercise of the word of God. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it or overcame it not. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. God was in the world. The word was in the world. The world was made by God. The world was made by the word. And the world knew not God, knew not the word of God. Because when you don't know his word, you don't know God. Every drunk on every bar stool will tell you, "I know God. Yeah, I know God." We're like that. We're every drunk. The drunker they get, the closer they are to God. The more maudlin they become. They'll sing. I sat out behind Max over in Center Point playing my guitar and had a couple of drunks singing Amazing Grace. It was awful. It was terrible. But I just saw them and they saw me. Hey, it's Pastor's son. They were sitting out, but they had a 55-gallon drum with fire in it, and they had their beers, and they were just back there doing what guys do. And so I pulled, they said, you got your guitar? Because they knew I carried it around with me all the time for those Bible studies. I don't do that anymore. But I did, and so they said, okay, let's sing. I said, okay, I'll pray with you. I'll sing. Who knows? You know, drunks have come to God before. Miracles have happened to other places and other people. You never know. You don't get advance warning about miracles. You got to walk into moments and miracles happen. And so laugh at me if you want to. But they are ignorant of God's word. And they think they know God. But you can't know God and be ignorant of his word. He came to his own, speaking of Israel, and his own received him not. Their tradition and their preconceptions shielded them from God and shielded them. The word incarnate was speaking to them and they didn't know it. There's people all over this city today carrying Bibles in church houses. They're going to hear the word of God and not hear it. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. These are biblical terms. They are lacking understanding of the word of God. They are carrying the Bible, but missing the treasure on the inside of the word of God. They are using the name of Jesus and failing to see the infinite power in that name. And it's because of ignorance of the word of God. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh, or God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Timothy, I want you to study to show thyself approved unto God. Listen to me. It's God's will and intent for you to find him, but you'll find him by the word of God. It is the word of God that reveals him. It is faith that will illuminate your heart to God, but it is the word of God that will engender that faith in your heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. You said you already said that. I understand, I already said that. You still need that. You need to have an experience in the word of God. Illumination needs to happen in your heart. So he said, Paul said, Timothy, I want you to be approved of God. I want you to be approved of God. So you study to show thyself approved of God. First thing about this is our allegiance is to God. Our allegiance is not to men. It's not to friends. It's not to family. It's not to tradition. It's not to organizations. It's not to the broader culture at large. Our allegiance is to God. We want to be approved of God. I want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God. But this message to Timothy suggests that there is a criteria for approval. God's way brings God's approval. God's word brings God's approval. And there is no hand-hatched, independent approval of God that you arrive at by your own devices. Rather, it has to be God's way. God is assertive, God is intrusive, and God is exclusive. Now, the world wants a God that just says, everybody can come like everybody is, and God loves everybody. They are right in these points. God loves everybody. God died for everybody. God wants everybody, but you can't stay like you are and be God's, and you can't stay like you are and have the approval of God. But you've got to come under the canopy of the word of God and begin to say yes and amen to the word of God. Now listen to me. I am not in a hurry this morning. We are out of church tonight. If you got a roast in the oven and you've got to go, I love you, God. God loves you. But we're going to get this done today. We're going to talk about the Word of God. The first response to the Word of God, the heavy lifting in your encounter with the Word of God is going to be the business of repentance. Repentance has to happen. Repentance is, this is what God's word says. Now you have a decision to make. Will I say I can't do it? I don't want it. Mama didn't do it that way. My friends won't understand it. Or will I say yes to God? And if you say yes to God, repentance happens organically within you. Repentance is a biblical term. It just means to turn around. You've been going in the wrong direction. Now you need to turn around. When the British military wants a group of soldiers to turn, they don't say about face, they say repent. And when they say repent, the whole unit turns as one man and moves in the opposite direction. And so repentance means to turn around. Stop what you are and be what God's called you to be. Stop what you're doing and do what God's called you to do. Well, praise God. And so the heavy lifting, and that's a great filter. That really filters out a lot of folks. The business of repentance. John the Baptist shocked everybody when he showed up out of the wilderness wearing leather and skins of animals, and he was a Nazarite, and so his hair was uncut and his beard was uncut, and he had been living in the wilderness like a wild man. And he comes up on the shores of the Jordan outside Jerusalem and begins to cry out, repent. And that was his word to them. Turn around. He's calling Israel to turn around. And he preaches to them, and he unleashes the word of God to them. But his mandate was a mandate of repentance. And so repentance is where the heavy lifting comes. I want to take a little moment here, and we're going to explore the King Josiah in the book of 2 Kings. And I want you to understand how the word of God can be obscured and the consequences of that. When the word of God is obscured in your life, you get where America is right now. When the word of God is obscured in your life, you personally will get eventually to where America is right now. There are varying degrees and varying themes there, but we're all moving without the word of God. We're all moving steadily into darkness, steadily away from God. And the only remedy for it is a healthy dose of understanding of the word of God. You've got to get it down inside your life. So 2 Kings chapter 22, and starting in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Josiah is the son of Ammon. Ammon is the son of Manasseh. Manasseh is the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is a good king. Hezekiah is a revivalist. Hezekiah is one of the only bright spots in all the history of Judah. And he is a remarkable individual spiritually and nationally. He brings Israel to a place of renewal and revival and prominence. But his son is a derelict, and his son is godless, and his grandson is even more godless. And then out of that comes this little 8-year-old boy named Josiah. He was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, and he's the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father. Everything references back to David, the greatest king, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord in two generations was run down. The word of the Lord was lost in the house of the Lord. There are there are images to Baal in the house of the Lord. There is a grove in the house of the Lord. All sorts of pagan manifestations in the house of the Lord. It only took two generations. It doesn't take that long. It can happen in a few years' time when perversion and non-biblical themes begin to emerge in the house of God. We need to beat the word of God like a drum. We need it to be planted. When God is telling Israel about it, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it on your cuffs. I want you to make it like a frontlet between your eyes. I want you to write it on the doorpost. I want you to tell your children when you sit down, when you stand up, when you walk in the way with them. I want you to tell them all about the word of God, because God knows the inherent tendency of humanity is to forget God and forget his word. And so we're two generations away and the word of God is lost. And verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, this is the book of Moses, this is the Pentateuch, that he rent his clothes. He tore his outer garment. For Hebrews, it meant, my heart is torn. All this while, this is a good kid. The Bible talks about how good he was. He didn't turn to the right or the left. He tried to do his best. He was a good kid. But when he heard the word of the Lord, he understood that he wasn't even in the neighborhood of being approved of God. He understood that there were so many things he was doing and so many things they were doing nationally, and the house of God was in disrepair. And he went in. The whole project was to repair the house of God, and that's how they found the word of God. I'm glad to tell you today that no matter how far you've gone, how eroded it all has become, how lost the word of God is, that if you'll begin to repair the house of God, you can find these things again. It is discoverable. You can find God. God can talk to you. You don't have to be an inveterate backslider. You don't have to stay in the darkness. You can come out, but the torch of your liberation is going to be the word of God. So he tore his clothes, and then they began in earnest to respond to the word of God. Now, Josiah's response is in the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. And he wants everybody to hear this now. He sent the priest and he sent the scribe down to the prophet and said, I want you to find out about this book that we've written, that we've discovered in the house of the Lord. And the prophet said, and this is the voice of God to him, you tell that man that sent you to look that the judgment has been decreed, Judah's going to be destroyed. But because he's found the word of God, and because he's willing, and because I saw him tear his clothes, he said, this is not going to happen in your lifetime. He's talking about Josiah. He said, I'm going to restore, and I'm going to give you a good, long, lengthy tenure here, and it's not going to happen in your lifetime. God saw the heart of that king, and they got a word from God. And then the king, chapter 23, verse 1, and the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, small and great. And he read in their ears all the book of the covenant which was found in the house of God. Do you know America could turn around in a day's time if our president and our Congress and our Supreme Court would get out on the steps of those high holy buildings, and they would read the covenant of God, and they would say, God, we're here to say we're going to do what you've required of us. Do you know that George Washington covenanted with God by the word of God that this would be a biblical and a godly nation? And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar. This is a man who didn't know the word, but he's coming into the knowledge of the word. This is a nation that's been backslidden and they're in darkness, but now they're about to be illuminated. And the king stood by a pillar there of the temple, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. He said, God, I've got your book now. I'm going to do what it says. Is there anybody in this house that can say, I haven't been living right. I haven't been doing right. I didn't know, but now I've got the book of God in my life, and now I'm going to do what God has required of me. He made a covenant to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes. Don't let anybody tell you that when we tell you that God has an expectation about your lifestyle or your behavior, don't let anybody whisper a lie in your ear and tell you, well, that was under the law. Don't you know that God still has rule and law and statutes and commandments? Don't you understand that you're still living before God of heaven and his word? He's got an expectation for you. He made a covenant. He said, we're going to do all that you've told us, all that's written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Everybody stood up and said, yay, yay, we will. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second orders and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. Once you encounter the word of God, everything else has to go. When you encounter the word of God, there are going to be some things that leave your church life. There are going to be some things that leave your social life. There'll be some things that you have to cast out of your house, but illumination is coming and life is coming and God is coming, and we want to study to show ourselves approved of God. To bring out the vessels that were made for Baal. They had Baal. Baal was a false god of the Philistines. And Baal had icons and idols in the house of God. That's how far they had fallen. And for the grove was an outdoor place, a grove of trees where they worshiped false gods. And for all the host of heaven, there were those now that were worshiping the stars and the heavenly bodies. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. He took all the false things out of when you encounter the word of God, the first thing you want to do is get all of the false things out of the house of God. You've got to get all of the false things out of the house of God. If it's not about love, you got to get it out of the house of God. If it's racially oriented, you got to get it out of the house of God. If it's bigotry, you've got to get it out of the house of God. No matter what it is, if it's worldliness, if it's Hollywood, if it's veneration of worldly things, you've got to get it out of the house of God. When you come into an encounter with the word of God, you can't sit down now with the word of God and the idol. You can't cohabitate one with the other. Brother Travis, you've got to make a decision, because if you sit down with the knowledge of the word of God and an idol from outside, you're going to become what the scripture would call a reprobate. You're going to become somebody that can sit there and look at the word of God and handle an idol in the same moment. Sit in the same spot. They burned it all. They carried it out to Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests. I think that's kind of like veterinary language. Put them down. He was a king. It was a different day. You may not put them down, but you need to put them away. And you need to get away from the idolatrous priest, whoever has told you that you can worship at the altars of the world and worship God. They lied to you. And you've got to separate the two. You need to study this now to show yourself approved unto God, whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places of the cities of Judah. His dad and his granddad had these priests burning incense to all these false gods. And in the places around Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, a false thing in the house of God, without Jerusalem, to the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron. What are we looking at? We're looking at repentance. This is what repentance looks like. The Word of God illuminates. The Word of God identifies what is God and what's not God. And then you gather up everything that's not God and you take it out to your Kidron, or you take it out to your place and you set fire to it. You shoot it with a 12-gauge. You do whatever you've got to do to it. But you get it out of your life and get it out of your heart. Because you can't live in one world and serve a God that's a God of another world. And to the brook Kidron, he burned all of them, stamped it into powder, cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites. Those are homosexuals, by the way, that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. They had a little business going. They were weaving nice things. Because anytime you develop false theologies and you develop false religion, immediately, because of the enterprising nature of mankind, business springs up. And these women are making tapestries and hangings for the grove so people can worship more comfortably and in better style. They want to make sure they worship in good style. But he tore down the house of the Sodomites and where the women were making everybody in this country, from Hollywood to the White House, from the Supreme Court to your school teachers, they're all telling you, your children and your young people, that God made homosexuals like they are. But the Word of God is a repetitive theme. God made man and God made a woman. And there wasn't anything else in the garden but the snake. And marriage was a man and a woman. It never was anything else. And if you were 8 years old and on the farm, you would understand that. It doesn't take a degree in rocket science to get this. That there's a bull and this over here is a heifer. 6-year-old boy with straw in his teeth and a hat on him. What do you mean you don't understand what a bull is? I'm 6 years old and I know what a bull is. It's not a feeling. It's not a state of mind. It's a biological fact. Anyway, when he repented, he tore down the house of the Sodomites. When America repents, it will tear down the house of the Sodomites. Listen to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a long list of things that can't get into the kingdom of God, can't get into heaven. Homosexuality is one of them. But in the very next breath, Paul says, "And such were some of you." God loves you. God wants to redeem you, but you can't stay like you are. And if you're going to come into the knowledge of the Word of God, it's going to illuminate that to you. Now, what you do with that at that point, you're going to have to learn how to deal with the Word of God. But Josiah has just discovered the Word of God, and Josiah is in full repentance mode. Break down the houses of the Sodomites. Verse 8, he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba. And he break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in and out of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on the man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. These false priests were taking part in the Passover. They were taking part in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had mixed all these things together, the traditions and the Word of God and the traditions of the pagans all around them. And he defiled Topheth, which was a god of the pagans, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech. You know what Molech was? Molech was the god to whom you brought your babies. Molech was the god to whom you brought your newborn children to sacrifice them. Molech is still in business today. They just call it Planned Parenthood. Molech is still in business today. They just call it an abortion clinic. God didn't give you the right to kill anybody, much less the most helpless among us, a tiny baby in its mother's womb. When Paul begins to talk about the end time, he said they will be without natural affection. A dog will fight you over his baby. But women in 2015, they'll go down and pay somebody to dismember their baby and to harvest its little heart and kidneys. And if you are a little bit offended that I'll bring this up in public, I'm wondering why folks aren't out in the street marching about this. There are people murdering little babies and they're selling their body parts. You need to shake yourself. He tore down the house of the Sodomites. He burned the bones of the false prophets. And he shut down, he defiled the gate of the place where they were offering up their babies to Molech. America's a mess. We are a mess from the highest office in the land on down. And don't you even begin to talk to me about, this is not a political statement. This is a moral statement. This is a biblical statement. This is a spiritual condition that's a foot in America today. Verse 11, he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. His dad and his granddad had designated animals to be used for the worship of the sun god. At the entering into the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. He was in full repentance mode. He was killing false prophets. He was tearing up their graveyards. He was tearing down their false gods, and he got rid of all their livestock. In verse 12, all the altars that were in the top of the upper chambers of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook. You understand me? He didn't just take these things and put them in storage somewhere. He didn't rent a little building to put them in case somebody needed them later. These were valuable things, and these were things that took a lot of work and skill and artistry to create. He beat them to powder, and then he took the powder and he cast it in the brook and said, wash this stuff away. When you repent, you absolutely, definitely, and completely get rid of every vestige of the thing that is offensive to God. You need to study. What are you doing today? We're studying to show ourselves approved of God. We want to encounter the word of God. Somebody say yes. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen, God. Somebody needs to tell God right now, whatever you need, God, I'll do it. Whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever you don't like about my life right now, tell me, God. And the high priests, verse 13, that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, Solomon, the king of Israel, had built it for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites. And this goes all the way back to Solomon and his pagan wives and those priests and those temples that he built for his pagan wives. And he broke in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder. Everything ground to dust. Everything ground to powder. Everything completely and totally annihilated. Everything moved out. Everything taken down. God does not want you to be a part-time child of God. God doesn't want a part of your heart. God doesn't want a part of your passion or your devotion. He said, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you need to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. Love God in a holistic way. Love God with everything that's in you. Everything else has to come down. Everything else has to come down. Everything else has to come down. Praise God. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, the high place that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it to small powder and burned the grove. As Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were in the mount and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word. These are the false prophets of these altars. Let's get their bones down here and we'll burn their bones on these altars according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed who proclaimed these words. That is a reference to a previous prophet in a previous day, long past, where a prophet had told these false prophets, one day God's going to raise up a king here, and he's going to take your bones and he's going to burn them on these pagan altars. And this is being fulfilled here in this 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. And he said, what is that that I see? What title? There's a little message written over this sepulcher. And the men of the city told him, it's the sepulcher of the man of God that came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. Josiah, somebody prophesied that you were going to do these very things. And he said, well, let him alone and let no man move his bones. And they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. Verse 20, he slew all the priests of the high places and burned men's bones upon them. And the king commanded, saying, keep the Passover to your Lord. And surely, verse 22, there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. He said they had the very best Passover. They had the best church that they'd ever had before. They never had church like that. I tell you something, you want to have good church? You get your house cleaned out, get your life cleaned out, get your heart cleaned out. Come countenance the word of God and obey the word of God. Say yes to God. Don't just be tangential. Don't just be peripheral. Don't just kind of hang out on the edges. But get, you know what the good stuff in this is? It's right down in the middle. It's right up in the mix. The good stuff about living for God is when you pour yourself into it with everything you've got. Don't do this halfway. Don't do this half-heartedly. Do it with all of your heart. Praise God. Verse 24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, the wizards, the images, the idols, all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, did Josiah put away. Praise him. Praise him. Verse 25, and like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his might, according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Josiah was on God's list, and the word of God says nobody ever responded to God any better than Josiah did. Praise God. Cleaning house because he encountered the word of God. What set all that into motion? What set him off? What's wrong with you, Josiah? I mean, the guy took off with a sword and started killing people and throwing things out and tearing things down. And he said, you broke it into pieces, and he said, they're not small enough. You broke it again, and he said, that's not small enough. He made them grind it all to powder so it can't be fixed and it can't be repaired and it can't be a problem in Israel anymore. What set him off? He encountered the word of God. He encountered the word of God. And the word of God set something off in him, and it was called repentance. And he just began to turn away from everything that his dad and his granddad had been. Anybody here want to serve God with all of your heart? Anybody here want to be approved of God? Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Praise God. I want us to just take a minute. I want us to just stop. And all over the house right now, I'd like for us to just repent. Repent of anything and everything that's not like God. Just repent of anything that might be in your life that's the Holy Ghost has been ringing a bell in the back of your head about this. And I want you to repent over that right now. Not just to say, God, I want you to, in your mind's eye, go get it. Go take it to an altar. Go take it to a dumpster, whatever it is that's not like God, I want you to just see yourself, envision yourself walking out the door with it, taking a hammer to it, breaking it so finely that it's powder and the wind is blowing it away. You need to get it out of your life. If it's a grudge, if it's a hatred, if it's something that's been in your heart since you were just a child, you need to get it out right now. And you've been building an altar to it, and you've been venerating it, and you've been worshiping it, you've been spending time on it. It intrudes in what God wants you to be and what God wants you to do. And it interferes with the Holy Ghost working in your life. And it gets in the way of being effective in ministry because you've got to pay homage to that offense in your life. But you need to get that out of there, and you need to tear it down, and you need to break it up, and you need to put it in the Brook Kidron and let it flow away and not to come back to your house and to your life again. Praise God. Church, God's calling somebody to a much higher experience than you've been allowing yourself to have. God's calling somebody to a much more fluid experience in the Holy Ghost. God's calling somebody to be used in gifts and callings, but you can't because you got so much clutter in your life. And it may have come from your dad. It may have come from your grandma, but you've got to get up and get... You've got to get better than that. You've got to rise up and ascend higher than that. God's got a calling for you. God's got a city to win. God's got a family to shake. God's got work to do. Somebody's got to say yes to God. Say, my God, the word of God was lost in the house of God. Lindsay, come help me. Praise God. Praise God. He said, I want you to be a workman in the kingdom of God. I want you to be approved of God. I want you to be approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's so good that there's no condemnation at all in the kingdom of God. There's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. God wants you to be in a place where you need not to be ashamed. I'm going to tell you, though, the only shame there is in the house of God is the shame of being unproductive. In the parable of the talents, God gives to one man, who the Lord in the story is the Lord of the harvest there. And he gives to one man five coins or five talents, pieces of silver, to another two, and to another one. And he goes away on a journey. And when he returns, the guy that he gives the five to says, Lord, here's your five, and here's another five, because I've brought about increase. And so the response of the Lord is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And to the one that he gave two, he made another two. And God didn't compare the two together. He just said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. They had a differential there between their production rates, but nobody was ashamed because they did their best and God was pleased with them. That's all God wants out of you, is your best. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We're not all the same. But to the last guy that he had given one to, he said, Lord, I was afraid. I knew you were hard and I knew you were going to be demanding. And so I was afraid I'd lose it or something would happen to it. So I bound it up. I buried it. And when you came back, I dug it up, and here's the one that I gave you. And this is incredibly harsh for the God that we call Savior. He said, you are a wicked and slothful servant. He said, you should have at least put it to the lenders so that I could have gotten usury or interest on it. You should have at least invested it and let me get 6% on it or whatever I could get on it. He said, but now you have it increased. He's not interested in getting back what he gave you. He's not interested in finding you sitting in the same spot, doing the same things, being the same person, having the same Holy Ghost that you were when he found you. He wants an increase. The only shame in the kingdom of God is the shame of no increase. You're not increasing. He said, Timothy, I want you to study to show yourself approved unto God, energetic, proactive. I want you to understand that there's a criteria that makes you approved unto God. And it's not your criteria, it's God's. And when you encounter the Word of God, it affects in you a sense of repentance. And that brings you into the place where you can be approved of God. And he said, I want you to be a workman. Because you have to be positioned and you have to be approved and you have to meet the criteria so that now you're suited and you're able to stand in the vineyard of God or stand in the cultivated field of God and bring forth the increase of God. God wants you to bring increase. He wants you to be productive. And the only place where we find shame in the house of God is when people are just not productive. But what it clearly indicates is a lack of exposure to the Word of God. You know, Brother Travis, I really do believe that when he teaches that the Word of God is like seed, that when I curl up on the couch and I've got my Bible or I'm sitting there with my cornflakes and I'm reading the Word of God and I'm, it's seed in me and it brings forth just organically. It just happens. You can't continually ingest the Word of God without it bringing forth increase in your life. But you can lay it on the shelf and you can just keep it at a distance. And I am thoroughly convinced that people keep God at a distance because they like being right where they are. I'm thoroughly convinced that people keep God at arm's length because they have a sneaking suspicion that he's going to turn their world upside down. But oh, is there a witness in the house today that can say, when the day God turned my world upside down was the best day of my life? It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise God. Study to show thyself approved. I want to meet your criteria, God. I want God to be happy with me. I want God to approve of my life. I want to be a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. All of that is affected by the Word of God. So much diversity here in the house today. So many different. There are some of you, this is your very first time to come to the house. And for you, I'd say, you need to get involved in this. You need a Bible study in your life. You need to invite somebody to come teach you the Word of God. Just after the service, come up and say, where do I sign up? Where do I sign on? And for some of you, you're just starting your growth curve. You're just starting to grow in God. You need to be in that Bible study. You need to be in a growth class. You need to have a condition in your life that compels you to be at church every time the doors open. I might as well just go ahead and do this right now. I'm real easygoing about stuff. I don't focus on negatives. That's somebody calling me right there. But you call me and you tell me why you're missing church. And I usually will just say, well, the ox is in the ditch. Got to go do what you got to do. But I'm just going to tell you something. After 40 years, and most all of my friends not living for God now, and most all of the preachers that came out of the revival that bore us not living for God now, and having the perspective now of being able to look down a back trail littered with lives and families, my little wife and I didn't miss church for nothing. I'm just telling you. Before I was a preacher, we didn't miss church. If we were moving, we didn't miss church. If the car broke down, we didn't miss church. You say, well, you're just heaping condemnation on me. No, I'm not. Listen to me. I'm telling you, we survived for some reason. We lived for some reason. We're still involved for some reason. I can't tell you all the reasons why, but I can tell you this. We were tethered to a pulpit. We were tethered to the preaching of the Word of God. To the preaching of the Word of God, our response was, yes, amen. You don't need to be casual, and you don't need to be a Sunday morning only visitor to the house of God. You're a Baptist at heart. You're not going to make a good apostolic if the only time you're in the house is on a Sunday morning. You need what happens in this house on a Wednesday night. You need what happens here on a Sunday night. There are places all over this city. They can't get a group together on Sunday night anymore. But Sunday night in an apostolic church is one of my favorite places on the whole face of the earth. You say, what is that about? It's about more of that word. Tell me more of that word. Maybe I missed it the first 10 times, but maybe it's going to go off in my heart right now. I need more of the Word of God. Well, who's preaching? It doesn't matter who's preaching, sweetheart. It matters what they're preaching. If they're opening up the book of God, I want to be there. I want to hear it. I want to hear it again. Study. Show yourself approved. Expose yourself to the Word of God. And for those of you that have been around a little while, you need to be teaching a home Bible study. You need to open up that book. You say, well, I can't teach, and I'm not eloquent, and I don't know how to. The first Bible study I taught, Andrew, you would have died. You'd have gone to sleep. I know. I read right out of the manual. Blah, 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 blah. And it was the most terrible thing in all the world. Because I didn't know how, because nobody taught me one. I just knew it had something in it that would work. I just didn't know how to do it. You know, I just trying. And God helped me. I got to teach them again 10 years later. And 10 years later, they did get the Holy Ghost. And 10 years later, they did get baptized. And 14 other people in their Bible study got the Holy Ghost and got baptized. But you got to start somewhere. You got to get you a chart. You got to find you somebody. Find somebody and say, can I teach you a Bible study? Husband and wife, teach one another. Don't fight. Teach somebody. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you feel like you've plateaued in the Word of God, that's insanity. There is no end to the increase. But I want you to entertain this idea. You will learn more as a teacher than you ever learned as a student. You're going to learn more teaching, breaking the bread yourself, teaching the Word of God, than you ever learned as a student of the Word of God. We got revival to do, church. We got a Church of Christ on the hill up there that just needs us in it. We got a city that is a part of this cultural landscape that they're all in trouble. They're all in trouble. They need an apostolic church that's just over the edge, outrageous, and absolutely insane about the things of God. That's what our city needs. That's what we need. That's what our children need. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you see these teenagers and kids down in the altar? Don't you see these little ones storming the platform, breaking in through the speakers and the praise singers? And they don't care about y'all. They want to see somebody go down in the water in Jesus. Don't you understand what's happening here? Don't you know that we're right on the edge of something that's just absolutely phenomenal? It's here. You want to bump this up a little bit? You go right back to the very foundation. You go right back to the very fundamental. You get right back into the Word of God, and He'll take you to the next level. Prayer, I'm not teaching on prayer. Teaching on the Word of God. A brand new experience in the Word of God will take your experience to the next level. It'll take this church to the next level. Praise God. This altar's open. I don't know what you need, and I don't know where you are, and I don't know what's happening in you right now. Somebody needs to repent. Somebody needs to commit. Somebody needs to just come and rejoice in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Mighty, 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 mighty God. Come on down to this altar. Say, God, connect me to your word. God, tether me to your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on close. Make room for those that are coming.